When Hang Nga first started working in the marriage business, she says it made her feel sad. She felt like Vietnamese girls were being treated like yellow potatoes, cheap and abundant and for sale year-round. These days, though, Nga says she's getting used to it.
Please line up here. You go first. Look at the camera. Answer loudly and clearly.
It's day one of a three-day marriage package in the northern Vietnamese city of Haiphong. Nga corrals dozens of women in their late teens and 20s into a shabby hotel restaurant.
What's your name? What's your age?
The candidates wear crisp jeans and flimsy tops that show off fancy bras. Their parents work on farms or in factories in rural villages nearby.
What's your weight and height? Did you finish high school?
At 29, Nga doesn't look much older than the girls. Just more tired. Standing next to Nga is her boss, Mr. Cho, from South Korea. For years, he's been selling these marriage packages back in Korea, then escorting grooms here to Vietnam. Today, it's just one groom. He's 40 years old and a bit shy. The package has cost him thousands of dollars.
This groom is a good man. He is getting a PhD in philosophy and palm reading.
Nga learned to speak Korean after she moved to Seoul 10 years ago. Her Vietnamese husband was running an import-export business there. Nga ended up translating for Vietnamese girls who married Korean men. She returned to Vietnam 2 years ago. She met Mr. Cho on a bus when he overheard her speaking Korean. After that, Cho offered her a job with his marriage business.
This groom has a farm. His father is 87 years old. Are you willing to tend the old man in the farm?
Nga and Cho lead the groom up and down the row of girls, quizzing them to see which one will be the hardest worker and most dedicated wife. The groom narrows his choices down to three and reads their palms. Finally, he points to a soft-spoken but confident 21-year-old who works at a local supermarket. Nga leads the bride-to-be to a table set for a celebration dinner.
You're getting married tomorrow, so please call anyone from your family. Don't even think about changing your mind.
Day two is miserable with rain. The group heads out of the city to see the bride's family.
Yeah, they've got this really nice, fancy, coral-colored two-story house, lots of wood.
The house is the biggest one in the village. It belongs to the bride's aunt, whose daughter also married a South Korean man. The bride doesn't actually live here. She and her mother have a much more humble house in the countryside.
Okay, so the mom is sitting down on a mat. I think the groom is gonna formally ask her permission. Nga is explaining everything.
The mother has only this daughter, so please help this bride. The father died a long time ago.
Nga says poor Vietnamese girls like this one aren't just looking for money.
They read in newspapers that Korean men are romantic and love their wives. In Vietnam, a rich and handsome man would never marry a girl like them. And these girls don't want to be with poor guys who drink too much, because those kind of men do nothing to help their wives and their children.
Nga says marrying a foreigner isn't the only way to have a better life. She herself grew up in a poor village in central Vietnam. She studied accounting at a vocational school and married a local businessman.
We're poor in Vietnam, so we have to try our best to study and work hard. Of course, I am much luckier than these girls, but that's because of my efforts and my thinking.
Nga poses the family for a quick photo. Then she whisks the group back to the hotel, where a dress, hairstylist, and photographer are waiting for the bride. The ceremony is in the same room as the bride audition was the night before. All part of the package, says Nga. Nga escorts the bride and groom up to a small stage and helps them pop a bottle of champagne. The bride's relatives stay for dinner and a round of toasts. Then they pack leftovers in styrofoam containers and leave. Outside the ceremony room, my interpreter, Thuy, tells me something weird is going on between Nga and a man who wasn't in the wedding party.
But that guy wanted to take some money or something that, you know, just making her angry.
Turns out the guy works for a madam. These are the women who recruit poor girls from the countryside and bring them to brokers like Nga and her boss, Mr. Cho. In this case, the bride's family has taken out a loan to pay about $1,200 to the madam. But the madam has sent this man to demand even more. He says he wants an envelope of money the groom gave the family as a gift.
He's waiting for her to get the envelope.
But it's not his. It's for the family.
Yeah, but she said if otherwise, he would not process the paperwork.
So he's threatening.
I think so.
The man follows the wedding party into the hotel parking garage.
Even the bride is kind of worried.
This is the shady part of the marriage business in Vietnam. What Nga does is technically legal. There are more than a dozen other businesses like hers in this province alone. What the madams do is illegal because the government says they're selling women. Nga could get in trouble for doing business with them. She says her salary makes it worth the risk. $1,000 a month from Mr. Cho, a huge amount of money in Vietnam. Nga finally sends the man away and shoos everyone up to their hotel rooms. Day 3 is the honeymoon, a boat ride on spectacular Ha Long Bay. The bride and groom photograph each other in front of the bay's eerie vertical islands. Then the group heads back to the capital, Hanoi. This is where the bride will stay while she studies Korean and waits for a visa to join her husband in Korea. Nga pays the driver and hurries home without saying goodbye. Tonight is her daughter's 8th birthday party. The next day, Nga is a housewife again. She drives her daughter to the first day of the school year. Later, in a noisy cafe, Nga says she really doesn't feel bad about this work. She says she's helping these girls, making sure they don't end up with abusive husbands or, worse, get trafficked to Korea as unpaid laborers or prostitutes. But she admits she wouldn't want her own daughter's fate to depend on a 3-day marriage package.
If she went to study in Korea and found a good man, then I would allow it. The most important thing is that the man should love my child, be well-educated and polite and not too much different in age.
Nga says she has high hopes for her daughter. An artist, a banker, a flight attendant, maybe. As long as she's not just another yellow potato, she says, for sale at the market.